It's Evan Paul on Taste of Country Nights On Demand, episode 38 with Tyler Hubbard from Florida Georgia Line. Now, your new song is called 5'9". 5'9" is a taller woman.
Taller woman.
What is the average? Is like 5'5" or something.
I've decided 5'9" is the average American height. So I was just going for the average. No, I'm just kidding. Really not. I actually missed it. My wife is actually 5'10". So she's even a little taller. I went home that night after writing that song and asked her. I said, babe, wait, how tall are you again exactly? And she said, oh, I'm 5'10". I was like, oh, boy. Well, here's a song I wrote today, honey, and, you know, part of it's about you, and I might have missed it by an inch.
Now, let me tell you, Tyler Hubbard from Florida Georgia Line, he is a great dude. He is very talented, and he's going out on his own. This is his solo debut. He's got an album that he's working on. We talk about it during the podcast, and also his past career with Florida Georgia Line, what he wants fans to know about him and his solo career. We got a lot to get to in this interview. Thanks for checking it out. Taste of Country Nights On Demand. Go ahead and give us a like, a subscribe, a comment. All that stuff helps us out on this podcast. It's Evan Paul here on Taste of Country Nights, hanging with Tyler Hubbard. What's up, man?
What up, Evan? How you doing?
Good, man. I love the song. I listened to it probably about... I swore to myself I was only going to listen to it once, but I listened to it about 11 times.
Hey, that'll work. Keep it rolling.
Yeah. Thanks. How long have you known you wanted to record a solo album?
You know, it's really only been about 8 months or so. Yeah. But it felt good. I just sort of, you know, I decided, you know what? I had all these songs and a lot of them felt like they were part of my story. And I was even inspired by BK doing the solo thing. I was like, you know, I understand why, you know, this is important and valuable to tell our individual story and some of this music that feels very personal to get that out to the fans and let them get to know kind of more of who we are personally as opposed to a band or a brand. So yeah, very exciting times for both of us. And I couldn't be more pumped for this song to be out. And I got about 17 more that I've recorded that I'm going to roll out over the next year. So I'm excited to let the world and the fans into my life and who I am in these songs.
So you mentioned how kind of FGL was like your way in or whatever. You know, now you want to be solo and do you think 12 years ago, you could have made it as a solo artist coming right in?
Man, it's hard to say. I personally think there's something special that BK and I had and we did. And, you know, there was a cool connection and a innocence and a hunger and a drive that got us where we're at, you know, and the fans and radio was always so good to us. So, no, I don't think I could have done it by myself by any means. And I'm super thankful for the last 10 years and that part of our journey and that in our story. But, again, now that I'm where I'm at and seeing what I'm seeing and feeling what I'm feeling, I do think this is important for us to have our own individual voices, you know, and to be able to tell our stories. So it's really cool to be here, man. And, you know, we're both extremely grateful for the last 10 years and excited for one another and supportive. So it's really just kind of the best case scenario.
Those 17 songs that you said you have and you're going to roll out, what do you want your FGL fans to know about that? Those songs, yeah. And new fans, like let's say someone is new to country music. We see it all the time. People that are like, man, I just started listening to country. Let's say they're like, oh, Tyler Hubbard, this is a new art. Like, what would you want them to know about your music?
Man, I think right now I would want them to know that this is my heart and my soul. This is who I am. This is part of my story, and I'm just excited to tell the world and to get this music out and to kind of have them know me on a deeper level. You know, I think there's a cool dynamic when you're in a band, especially as long as we were, that there's a cool thing about the songs that's a unit that's about us. Mm-hmm. And now it's about me. It's about my story, and same with BK to get to tell his. So I just think, you know, what I want the fans to take from it is a little bit more depth, a little bit more maturity and evolution and into who I am and my heart and in my life. And some of it's not super directly about me. Maybe it's me as a writer putting myself in other people's shoes. But I will say the majority of this new music is very kind of directly about me and my story. So I'm excited about it.
Are there any collaborations that you could share with us that are...
Man, listen, this first album, I intentionally did no collaborations. It's all just me. Which is unique and different for us. I love collaborating. I love making music with friends. And I look forward to getting back to that. But I really kind of just wanted to reestablish myself as an individual and a solo artist before I did too many collaborations. So
when Nelly finds out about this, is he going to hit you up like, dog, didn't text me to get on one?
I hope he does. And then I'll say, let's do another one and let's put out a project. So, yeah, I love working with him. And like I said, there's nothing better than making music with friends and all that. So I look forward to getting back to it.
5'9" is a taller woman.
Taller woman.
What is the average? Is like 5'5" or something?
I've decided 5'9" is the average American height. So I was just going for the average. No, I'm just kidding. Really not. I actually missed it. My wife is actually 5'10". So she's even a little taller. I went home that night after writing that song and asked her. I said, babe, wait, how tall are you again exactly? And she said, oh, I'm 5'10". I was like, oh, boy. Well, here's a song I wrote today, honey, and you know, part of it's about you, and I might have missed it by an inch. But
did she suggest to re-record it?
No, we decided 5'10" didn't really rhyme with nearly as much as 5'9", so she sacrificed the inch for me.
When she heard the song completed for the first time, or the demo, what were her thoughts? What did she say?
She liked it. It was a good reception. And, you know, typically I go home after writing a song and show her the demo from the day. And, you know, she's very brutally honest with me, and her reaction is usually not over the top. And I think this one was a pretty high energy response. And it was a good sign for sure. She's got good ears.
Is demoitis a thing?
It is a thing, a very real thing, especially in this town. 'Cause a lot of these guys make such great demos. Even Jaron made the demo on this song 5'9". And it is quite a bit different than the master. So yeah, it took a little adjusting, to be honest. I know there wasn't that drum beat and the pattern in there. It wasn't there in the demo. And, there is something special about the demo. One day I need to just release the demo for demo sake. But, yeah, a lot of times we have to talk ourselves out of demoitis, 'cause that's a real thing here.
When you listen to country radio today, where do you hear your influence?
Oh man. Where do I hear it? You know, I think there's little bits and pieces kind of all over the radio, which is really cool. Which honestly in turn influences me, you know? So it's kind of a full circle influential, thing, if you will. But yeah, it's cool, man, to be in this format for 10 years and to see the love and to feel the acceptance that we've had and that I've had. It feels so good, man. And some of these newer artists coming up, anytime I feel like, oh, that reminds me of 2013 or 2014 or this song or that song, you know, it's an honor. It's really cool.
You talk about a new artist. So you co-signed, like you were one of the first people to hit up Kane Brown, I think, when he made it, and Jelly Roll. What is it that you see in new artists, or what are you looking for where you're like, this is the guy, this is the girl?
Man, I think just authenticity. You know, I think that's something that you can't teach and something that's really special. And, you know, guys like Jelly Roll, I mean, there's nobody like him, you know, and he's not trying to be like anybody else, and he's not trying to sound like anybody else. He's just being him and doing his thing, and he's standing out for it. And it's really cool. You know, I respect that. So yeah, whether you're a Kane Brown coming up or a Jelly Roll or any of these new artists that have their own voice and their own story to tell, I admire that. I think it's really cool.
Has Tim heard the song?
He actually has. I sent it to him a week ago and said, hey, buddy, just wanted you to have a heads up that I gave you a shout out on this song. And or it was a couple weeks ago now, before it was out. And you know, just said, hey, much respect. I love you. And you know, you've always been a huge impact in my life and influence. And so anyways, just wanted to show you some love on this song. And so I sent it to him a little early.
That's cool. Yeah. What did he write back?
It was a pretty short response. I think he was like, this is awesome. Thanks, buddy. So, I'll take it. Yeah.
Florida Georgia Line was a huge arena act. You guys are, you know, a loud show, big. What can we expect from Tyler's show?
You know, I think it's going to, that's a great question. I hadn't even dove into to fully thinking it out, but it's going to still be a pretty high energy. All this music is really just made and written to be live. I mean, it's created to be a live show. And so I'm excited to get out on the road and play some of these shows. It'll be high energy, but I think it'll also be a journey. It'll be a cool, you know, roller coaster of emotions, if you will, I believe, because there's still some songs that are a little more heart, you know, a little more depth and a little more emotional. And, So I look forward on kind of look forward to taking the fans on a journey during the live show.
Are you going
to
play any FGL stuff like peppered in?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I'll probably, what I think would be cool to do is somehow showcase, you know, my passion and love for songwriting and play maybe a medley of a lot of songs that I've written that weren't FGL songs. And then maybe a couple of the big FGL songs. Cause I think the fans want to hear those still, you know, the Cruise and the Meant to Be. And I mean, it's such a big part of our story and our journey and such a big part of a lot of these fans' lives. So yeah, I'll probably sprinkle a few of those in there in the context of songs I've written.
Speaking of Meant to Be, this is probably can't be used anywhere. This is just for me. I just want to know. When Bebe Rexha cut her first verse, when she said, lay your pretty feet up on the dash, like you said, is that weird?
When she did her version.
Yeah, because she says it, but she's talking to a dude and do pretty feet on the dash.
You know, I actually, you just brought that back. I barely even remember that. But yeah, I mean, I kind of thought, well, that works. She wants to record her own version. Cool. I didn't overthink it. I just kind of let her do her thing. And at the time, the song was already
huge.
It was already so big that it was like, hey, you know, it is what it is. Have fun with it. And it was fun working with BB.
Do you want your kids one day pursuing music?
You know, I'm not going to push it on them, but I think they've already kind of got a passion for it. They run around the house with their guitars and act like they're performing and dancing, and it's really fun, man. And they see how much I love it, so I think they're kind of drawn to it. But, you know, I don't want to push them into anything, but I do secretly kind of hope they are. I think it'd be fun to have kids that write songs and play instruments, and, you know, maybe we'll have a family band one day. You never know.
What's the most dad thing you do that your fans would be like, no?
Ooh.
Like, do you mow the lawn in New Balances?
Bro, always. I'll do everything in my new bees. Now, man, well, that's a good question. I'm actually gotten pretty good. Actually, I'm not good at it, but I randomly will, you know, out of nowhere, a dad joke will hit me and I'll say it out loud and be like, wow, that was very dad of me. I do wake up pretty early now, like 6:30.
Do you tell people that you're awake early?
Sometimes, but usually that's just the me time before the kids wake up around 7. And so if I don't get up a little bit before that, there's like no me time in the day. So I enjoy those early hours, a little coffee, little, you know, just me time. Yeah.
What's your favorite song that you've written, not FGL, not Tyler, that you've given away per se, that you hear on the radio and you're like, oh man, that's the one, man.
I really like Make It Easy, the Al Dean single. I thought that was a really cool one. And I still hear it and it never gets old. And I really love that song. So, yeah, that'd be my choice.
Well, cool, man. We really appreciate you coming by. And like I said, the new song is awesome. Thanks, like, I love it. Like, I'm not just, if I didn't like it, I would just be like Guy Fieri and be like, oh, this is great.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty good. Awesome. But it's really good, man. I'm looking forward to hearing the other 17.
That means a ton.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Dude. Thanks for coming by.
Heck yeah, anytime.
All right. And now we're going to bring in Billy Dukes from tasteofcountry.com from behind the camera. Talk a little bit more about this interview in depth. What's happening, man?
I'm going to start with a question that might get you in trouble.
Oh, boy. Okay.
How would you compare solo interviews with Brian Kelly and Tyler Hubbard? Because you've had the chance to interview both now one-on-one.
I think that Brian is more of like, I feel like he more like wings it in life and is more like sort of like a partier and is just not as focused on one lane as with his music. He's trying out a bunch of different stuff. And I think Tyler is more like serious business and knows exactly like where he wants to be with his solo stuff and maybe has for a while.
I feel like Tyler, he had a job to do that day. Like he might be the guy who's like, iCalendar is just perfectly organized. So like from 11 to 11:15, I'm talking to Evan Paul with Taste of Country Nights. Then I got my kids to FaceTime between 11:15 and 11:30, where Brian Kelly just shows up and he's just like, what's up? You know, he's like Bud Light dudes.
Right. Like, where's my shoes? Right. Yeah, definitely, yeah. Man. That's the kind of vibe I got in the interviews as well. And it's interesting to me because, you know, those are two kind of separate personality traits. And they, you know, were on the road for so long together and they're best friends, you know, and... You know, it's that's cool. It's, you know, opposites attract.
During the conversation, I think I counted about four times anyway, where Tyler dropped Brian Kelly's name somewhere in the conversation. And that struck out to me because, like, everyone's really trying to pit them against each other. I'm wondering if you had any questions written down about their breakup or the split or the break or whatever we're calling it now.
No, I didn't really want to ask. I mean... Just because the way it panned out when it did was a little weird. You know, they unfollowed each other or whatnot on social media, right. And then followed each other back. And then, you know, they were breaking up, then they weren't. Then they're going to take some time, then it's permanent. So I feel like if there's anything else he wanted to say or talk about with that, he would have. It's kind of a thin line. You know, I wanted to... You want to have respect for what they've done, but when they're venturing into a solo act, you also want to have respect for what they're going to do. So it was kind of, I didn't really want to get too into it, but it was tempting.
Well, I agree with you. It has been quite a long time, but also quite organically, he talked about Brian in a really positive way about how BK's album inspired him to create his own solo album. That was just one example. And that, to me, kind of put to rest any theories about the two guys hating each other or anything like that, or, you know, how some people are trying to kind of put them in that light.
Yeah, and because I didn't ask him about it, he didn't have to say anything. So I think you're right. By the fact that he did say something kind of means that he is... they are, you know, cool, and they still do support each other. And weren't they friends before all Florida Georgia Line?
Yeah. Yeah, they're like roommates or boys at Belmont University here in Nashville.
Yeah, and then they play baseball and stuff.
I mean, talking about Florida Georgia Line, like when he talks about, BK played baseball. He played at Florida State, and then he played at Belmont. He was actually teammates with a famous Major League Baseball player named Buster Posey. They were college teammates back in the day.
I've had him on my fantasy team before.
Yeah. I think he's out of the league now, but he was really good for a while.
Well, yeah. Well, what I was getting at is that, you know, they've been friends even before they were famous. So it's like, you know, the more famous you get, I would imagine that the closer you want to be with people that knew you before you're famous. And, you know, they might have their disagreements, whether it be politically, you know, and everybody does. But I think that the bond with them is strong enough to where that wouldn't mess it up, you know. And in the past, like, they're always going to be linked in the history books of country music for some of the biggest songs, you know. So it's like, they're not going to be getting away from each other anytime soon, so they might as well embrace it.
I thought it was interesting hearing him answer your question about how he hears FGL's influence elsewhere, because he didn't really give much of an answer. And I don't know, do you think he was just being humble, or do you think he hasn't really thought about it?
I'd probably both. I could see both. You know, that's a tough question for him to answer and sound humble, you know, so I could see both.
I think about Florida Georgia Line a lot in terms of, like, how we're going to look back at them in like 20 years or so. Like, I think you could make a pretty good argument that they've done enough to earn admission into the Country Music Hall of Fame. But right now, it's so, like, people love them or hate them of what they brought to the genre. So it's hard to sort of envision that, but man, I mean, they influenced the genre the last 10 or 20 years really as much, if not more, than anybody in country music.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they're some of the first people that the way that they deliver the lyrics, you know, you know, this is how we roll. We rolling in the town. And now you hear all that with, like, Morgan Wallen, you know, and Sam Hunt, and and you know Breland or different artists like Mitchell Timpan. I don't know. It's kind of like a rolling tongue way of singing, and you know, they, like you said, they influence the genre so much, and you can't deny it, whether you like it or not. You can't deny it. So I would think they would gain entry into the Country Music Hall of Fame. And I think that that's probably in the back of their minds as they, you know, when they split up as a band, you want it to be clean and not Jerry Springer. You know, when you know that you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, you don't want that part of the exhibit to be in existence, you know. And then they hated each other, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You don't want that to be that part of their obituary, so to speak. Yeah, good point.
You're right. Thanks.
One question that I've heard you ask a number of artists, and you asked Tyler here, is about his wife's reaction to the song. And I wonder if you ever go home and bounce a joke or break or something off of your wife and how she reacts when you bring it to her.
I do all the time, and she thinks everything I say is so stupid. So it's tough because I can totally relate to these artists in a sense that, you know, you put all your work into this thing, and then you bring it to the person you love the most, and they're just like, what? But you just have to know, you know, I don't know, as with artists are maybe as how I am. I knew my craft and I was doing my craft before I knew my wife, you know? So it's like, you have to take everybody's criticism into consideration and not just make it the only criticism. So, you know, I think that that happens to me all the time. And sometimes, most of the time, my wife's right. But, you know, there are some times where I have to be like, you know, I've used similar in the past and I know it works, and I'm just going to do it. So I think that when they come home and they play songs for their wives, you know, that's tough, because I've heard mixed from all artists that sometimes their wives just don't like it, but they continue to push the song through and it makes it, you know. Jason Aldean's told me a couple times that there are songs on his albums that, you know, Brittany just didn't like, and you know, but they make the album, and that's because, you know, he has an ear for it, you know. I feel that applies to radio and music.
Well, I think a couple of differences. Like, you got to recognize if your wife's the demo, and Jason understands that his wife is not the demographic all the time with
right.
every song. But also, the stakes are quite a bit higher. Like, you give your wife a joke, and she just kind of chuckles and goes, ha-ha, that's funny, like my wife used to do. Like, no big deal, because, you know, that's not going to define your career. But, like, the wives of these country artists or the husbands of these country artists, like, this is big money kind of opinions they're given. They need to buckle down.
That's a good point.
And give her some solid
feedback. That's a good point. Yeah, no, very good point, you know, and I wonder, like, the wives of, like, Dan and Che, you know, they are constantly, you know, brought songs about love, you know, and how do you say, I don't like this song that's about you loving me? So it's like, that's tough, because they're influencing. If you put out a song that's not a hit, that could define a career. You're right. You know, yeah. Whereas my bad jokes define my career in the way that, you know, they're all bad. So yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, you get a new show the next night, or a new break in 20 minutes.
yeah, set the bar low. Yeah, these guys, they have a couple non-hits, and that's it.
Let me ask you two more questions. One's kind of bouncing off of what we were just talking about there. We've talked about this in the past, how you'll use portions of an interview, and you'll kind of scatter portions of an interview throughout an hour or 2 hours for the radio, and that's pretty common. I mean, that's how interviews work. The artist isn't necessarily there for 3 or 4 hours on the radio with a person. It's kind of done in parts. What are you going to use on the radio? And then what will kind of not see the light of day on the radio from that interview with Tyler?
You know, it's tough. I probably will only be able to use clips about the song 5'9", you know, when we're playing it and everything, because you know, going into a Florida Georgia Line song, maybe something about, maybe, you know, like I got a chance to hang with Tyler Hubbard. We were talking about Florida Georgia Line's legacy. Maybe he says something about, I think, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, BK's always going to be my boy.
Sure.
Going into like Cruise or something like that. And then piecing apart the talk about 5'9", you know, how he got the inch messed up. His wife's actually 5'10", you know, and different things like that. And, you know, I'll probably use it. You're right. Me too. I was like, man, that's a big detail.
Yeah.
Again, she could have stopped that song. She could have been like, that's dumb, you know, and stopped it.
And then the question I always like to ask you is, what do you wish you would have asked Tyler after you listened back through the interview?
Well, now that you brought it up, probably more about Florida Georgia Line and, you know, how they are and how often they get to hang out and, you know, what happened when they unfollowed each other on social media, probably all that stuff. I really enjoyed asking about the Nelly stuff. I would probably want to get more into that because the way Tyler kind of does some of his lyrics, you know, has some hip hop influence. And I would like to see if he's going to be doing any collaborations with other hip hop artists, other, you know, than Nelly, of course, some Florida Georgia Line coming up. I know he's not collaborating on his first album, but second album, you know, I would ask him more about that. Because he seemed to already have the first album done, so maybe if I had a chance to talk to him again, I would have asked a little bit more about what's next after the first album and collaborations in the, you know, different genres. Because Florida Georgia Line has fans, you know, I'm sure like everyone from like Axl Rose to, you know, today's rappers, you know, like Florida Georgia Line. So I'm sure he can get on the phone and get anybody on any song he wants. So the world is his oyster in a sense that, you know, imagine that power. You know, I want to make a song with Britney Spears today. He can wake up and probably make it happen.
You've been trying to get Nelly on the show for quite a while. So I think next time you got to bring Nelly back up and just kind of leave an awkward pause. So Tyler's like inspired to like get Nelly on the phone right then and
there.
Let's make this happen. Just kind of guilt him into it a little bit. Like, man, I've always wanted to talk to Nelly, you know?
Dude, that's it. That's the move. That's if he comes in again, I'm spending the whole interview trying to get him to call Nelly. It worked one time. I got Brantley Gilbert to call Michael Ray, so right. Maybe it'll happen. Hey, thanks for listening to Taste of Country Nights on Demand. I'm Evan Paul, the host of Taste of Country Nights. It airs on over 115 radio stations all across America and on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week loop at tasteofcountry.com or on your free Taste of Country app. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Feel free to give us a like, a subscribe, and all that. Like I said earlier, it helps out. We appreciate that. And this podcast is part of the Town Square Media Podcast Network.